Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Bills Wire Billscast, presented to you by USA Today, SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, and alongside me is my new co-host, who we debuted with me last time, David. David, welcome back, bud. I'm happy to have you with us today.
Happy to be here, Matt.
Yeah, I could definitely tell in your voice that, you know, it's been a rough evening. We're recording probably about 20 to 25 minutes after this, the Bills on a very lopsided loss to the Tennessee Titans, 42-16. The Titans won this game and move on to 4-0, while the Bills are sitting at 4-1. David, my friend, your initial reaction to this, and I want to hear your initial thoughts.
Well, we didn't look like ourselves tonight, and there was, you know, several primary reasons for that. One being the injuries. I mean, we didn't have Trey White, Levi Wallace, John Brown, Zach Moss, Matt Milano, Quentin Spain. It was Trey White's first game he's missed with an injury in his pro career. And so, this is an offense who's averaging 30 plus points a game, and holding opponents to 25 points on average over the last four games. That did not happen tonight. So there's that side of it. You know, the Bills didn't look like themselves. And, you know, look, a W is a W, and an L is an L, and the Titans are a good team with a good coach and a dominant running back, but they are not nearly as good as they look tonight. They were putting up, you know, Kansas City Chief numbers on offense. And the Titans are no Kansas City Chiefs, or Cleveland Browns for that matter. But you know, it's just one of those games that got away from us early. We never quite found our rhythm, you know, that we've seen in the other games. I mean, the offense looked visibly kind of shook off that first turnover, which was really unfortunate. And, you know, we just ended up kind of trying to chip away from behind and never quite got back in the game.
No, I agree. You know, everything that I've seen, it just looked like a very, very different Buffalo Bills squad. It was very, very, it was hard to watch, honestly. Like you said, there are many, many factors in this. I was not even anticipating or expecting the Trey White, you know, not being a part of this game. Did not see that coming. There's a couple others that who I was not expecting, especially with an extra couple days of rest too, an extra day, well, 2 days of rest to, you know, hopefully these guys can, you know, get in the game, but definitely played a big factor. I know there was some, you know, the Titans were definitely missing some pieces, obviously, some guys being on the COVID list, but I thought this was going to go the Bills' way. I mean, they've been active since, you know, since the Titans pandemic, COVID pandemic really first hit. And so I was like, oh, there's no way, right? These teams gotta handle them. And it just was not to be. And I'm not sure what that speaks, you know, what that really speaks to. You know, was it the confusion as to whether the Bills were actually going to play the Titans this evening at the time of recording, or play the Chiefs, presumably, you know, which was really originally supposed to be Thursday? Game planning. I'm not sure how much really how much that this really affects game outcomes. You know, I really don't. I never played in the NFL. I never coached in the NFL. So I'm not sure how. I was told that they were game planning for both teams this week just to be ready. And it was just, you know, that's always a tough factor, to really compensate for. It's just been a weird, wacky week. You know, just talking Bills, we don't know what to expect. Even the vibe, I'm a guy who can catch on to vibes and like energy. It sounds like really hippie, hipster like and weird, but vibes, energy, and it just there's something off from this team from the very get go, and it showed in some pretty poor play.
It's interesting you say that, because I the defense has felt like that almost every game this year. We talked about last week. And it's, you know, it's tough to say whether or not the lack of preseason games played a factor. You know, maybe that's what it takes for them to get that rhythm going that we're used to seeing right off the bat the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
But Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer have not made the impact that we're used to seeing them make. you know, the defense has not been getting, they've showed flashes the last couple games. You know, I mean, they got some big stops tonight, but they also had a whole handful that they didn't. And unfortunately, that cost us.
Right. No, absolutely did. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it, off balance. It certainly wasn't the best showing. And it is tough when you're without some of your superstars too. And, you know, despite the Titans do having some people out, you know, them having some people out due to COVID reasons, you know, their big time players on offense were all available. So that certainly hurt. Of course, Derrick Henry being active, Jonnu Smith, AJ Brown, and, you know, obviously Ryan Tannehill is playing the best football of his life. He's playing out of his mind. And I'm, you know, as a neutral fan, I'm very happy to see guys find, you know, get that second chance and make the most of it. But, yeah, on the Bills side of things, it was, you know, the first interception, I don't blame on Allen. I'm not sure. I've seen a lot of bobbled pass interceptions go the other way. And the first one, I do not blame on Allen. I missed the second one, so I can't really speak on it. But, I mean, from a statistical standpoint, obviously not Josh Allen's best game. Yeah, just not his best showing.
That pick, you know, it was a tipped ball, and I really wish there was a different designation for tipped balls.
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate double-edged sword or two-sided coin, because if it falls your way, you know, if your team comes down with a ball off a tip, it's the best feeling, you know? And likewise, you know, if it's your team that gets the ball tipped and the other team comes down from it, it's really painful because it counts as an interception. When that's just kind of a freak defensive play and a good heads up, you know, to recover the ball. So I do wish there was kind of like a different designation for tip balls and that wouldn't count as an interception. The second one, you know, was unquestionably an interception, but, you know, coming off a terrible call in this type of situation in the Rams game, I mean, you know, it's just on paper, it looks like Allen's had three picks when really he's had one that wasn't
one actual one. Right. Right. Right.
One that was a tip ball. And then, yeah, one that did get picked off this game. But yeah, I mean, not to excuse it, just to say that I think you're right on that one. And when the Bills got that ball back on that whole drive down the field afterwards, Allen looked like he was kind of bothered and rattled a bit from that first experience. They looked, they were good. I mean, their offense looked good. It looked strong. But they did look like, you know, he was trying to kind of like settle into, his rhythm and his game. And I think playing from behind, kind of threw that off a bit the rest of the game.
Yeah, it certainly did. And they were behind for most of it. My message really ultimately to the listeners is, are there things wrong? Certain aspects of this team that are wrong. Yes, there undoubtedly is, but this is not the time to overreact. Okay. This is absolutely not the time to overreact. I think it's my most important message. It is one game in a fluky, weird, strange, typical 2020 kind of week, especially of NFL action, and the Bills were just on the wrong end of it. And it's truly unfortunate. You know, this loss could affect seeding down the line, undoubtedly so. But it is not the time to overreact. I'm looking through Twitter right now, and one of our friends, Brad Galber, who somebody commented underneath, oh, the Bills are going to finish 7-9, just losing their minds. I'm just like, come on. It's 1 week. Granted, the Bills do have a powerhouse in Kansas City coming up next Monday night. But there's so much time to make up for everything, you know. Do we always want our favorite teams to go 16-0? Absolutely, but the likeliness of it happening is it's not very common. Obviously, only a few teams have Well, actually, no, excuse me. Only one team has only been able to really do that. A few teams in regular season and whatnot. But the important thing here is just not to overreact. This is definitely not even remotely close to the playoff drought Bills teams just because they looked off on one night with a weird scheduling situation.
Yeah, it's been a little funny. I was actually kind of wondering what was going on right off the bat in the first quarter tonight. Those two running plays right off the bat, right up the middle to start the game. The running play up the middle is the one play in football I just don't understand it, you know, like running into the defense.
Yeah.
head first into the defense. I know Adrian Peterson loves to do that, but you know, that's why he's kind of bouncing around teams to find a job now.
Yeah.
You know, running into the defense when it's not fourth and one around the goal line. I feel the same way on kickoff returns. You know, this is why the catch and run back is becoming, you know, that hybrid back is becoming more of an asset and commodity around the league. Using your running back speed, going for the edge, wearing out opposing defenses by making them chase you. It's worked for teams with Darren Sproles for years.
Yes.
We have a very Sproles-like speedster in Devin Motor Singletary. And it also worked great for McKenzie tonight, by the way, on that first scoring drive. So as far as those two run plays go, I'm not quite sure what Brian Daboll was up to there. But I will say this, as great as he has been for us, and this is like kind of like the one caveat or word of warning to any good creative offensive coordinator, right? Is if there's one thing Brian Schottenheimer has taught in us, it's that no matter how much of a creative mind you are on offense, trying to be too clever can backfire on you. You know, it's just how it goes. So I'm not sure quite what the game plan was there, but you know, I know we were great on short yardage. We converted a ton on third down. We were 4 for 4 converting on third and one, third and 13, third in 7 and a third and 15 all in the first quarter.
Yeah, 76% throughout the game. 76% third down conversion percentage. And that's really outstanding compared to a lot of NFL teams too. Which speaks volumes, but I do like your point, you know, just running up the gut. It you know, I get, like you said, short yardage situations. Completely understand. Once in a while it breaks off, you know, for something big, but the kick off a game like that, that's, come on.
Right.
Brian Daboll, we all know you're better than that. That's why you've, you know, with everything that you've done with Josh Allen so far this year and in the previous years, that's kind of why you're being talked about as a potential head coach. But yeah, start off, you got to get cute. You almost have to get cute to start, to really set the pace of the game, to really start, you know, to start off. I mean, I look back at, the Houston playoff game last year, which is, you know, the ending is horrible, but that very first drive, Bills got fancy. There was special play calling. You could definitely tell it was an unorthodox style, and they moved the ball very effectively and scored a touchdown on that very first drive of that game. And I don't get why, you know, yeah, vanilla offense to kind of feel out the defense and see what they're giving you perhaps, but you could have did a little bit more. There could have been a little bit more variety on there. So, and obviously, you know, the Titans didn't let up too much. Two 3 yard runs back to back. And then, which ultimately led to that unfortunate interception.
Right. And that, by the way, that was a catchable ball. It was a little bit behind Andre Roberts, but it was catchable. And yeah, so I mean, that's also a factor there, is that there was a lot of dropped passes tonight. They were overshadowed, I think, by the penalties, but there was a lot of them.
Yeah, I actually had a very, very difficult time trying to pick a player of the week. Because of there have been so many drops, I was like, maybe Cole Beasley, but it's like, I can't give him player of the week for 53 yards. And we'll go through all the stats in a little bit. Ultimately, I decided on TJ Yeldon, which was a big surprise. And I never thought I'd ever say that because he led in rushing and got a pretty cool receiving touchdown. But yeah, so I think ultimately there's some like wild theories going on about, you know, Daboll not wanting to show too much before Kansas City. And I'm like, that's yeah. Okay. Yeah. Keep that. You can keep that conspiracy theory going. I'm not sure that's what he was going for here. This is a pretty important, you know, this is a pretty important game. We see Buffalo and Tennessee games. They've been field goal difference between the two teams over the last couple of years. But yeah, I mean, fans don't panic. Ultimately, do not panic.
Right.
Let's see. Let's go through the, yeah. Oh, were you about to say something? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. We'll go through the drive chart and just kind of recap through the game and, you know, how it came about. Obviously the interception put the kibosh on the very first drive. But Tennessee scored on short yardage, 16 yards off two plays with Ryan Tannehill hitting AJ Brown for 16 yard touchdown. And, you know, this defense, again, missing some very serious pieces, but regardless, you know, I've always, the last couple of years, I've like, man, the Bills have been really solid at depth and, you know, being able to, I feel like while these guys, you're not going to find a Trey White sitting on the bench behind Trey White. These guys, you know, these type of players are, you know, they're competent and they may start somewhere else within the National Football League. But yeah, I mean, it's only 16 yards, but regardless, you know, Tennessee moved the ball up and down, you know, them throughout the evening. But luckily, unfortunately, the Bills did answer back with a touchdown, which was brought the score to 7-7, 76 yards on 15 plays with Josh Allen hitting Zay McKenzie for 3 yards. A little short pass, and they moved the they actually had a pass for Gabriel Davis, but there was an illegal shift, and they called it back. But McKenzie eventually got it. What's that?
No, that was a catch, too. I mean, what a catch. You know, that call, okay, you could kind of go either way on the call. I'm not going to complain about it. They're not wrong, but it's just something you don't see them call that often.
Right.
Yeah, the refs seem to be working overtime tonight. But yeah, that was something. That was a great catch by Gabriel Davis. It broke my heart. They took that away from him. He went up and got it. Big time catch by a rookie guy, you know, starting in place of John Brown tonight. The passing game did look good on that drive, even though it was a little shaky. You know, that was if they had a kind of a big catch by Roberts for first down, sort of a redemptive catch a little bit from the, you know, the previous drive, and then another big catch by Davis again to get first down, put him in the red zone. There was a touch play, that touch play to Isaiah McKenzie to score. You know, it was a good look, and it kind of raised questions why we didn't see some more of that later in the game, but I thought the defense overall did a good job of containing Derrick Henry and getting some stops. It just wasn't enough tonight.
No, certainly was not. Certainly was not. He's a hard guy to contain too. Big, just a freight train. Next drive, Tennessee goes 16 yards on four plays and punts the ball away. Bills do the same with 9 yards on three plays, punt it away. And the end of the first, towards the end of the first quarter, the Tennessee Titans score with Derrick Henry going up 1 yard for a touchdown run after trailing 40 yards on seven plays for the Tennessee Titans. So Tennessee's up 14-7. And quite honestly, they never looked back. I think that was the last time that the Bills and Titans were remotely close in this game, sadly and unfortunately. Second quarter, Bills go 50 yards on 10 plays, and the Tyler Bass gets a 43-yard field goal to bring the score 14-10, inching a little bit closer. Tennessee punts away 44 yards on eight plays. Bills punt after going 1 yard on three plays. That's surprising to me. As good as this offense is, I feel like that should never be a drive stat, in my personal opinion.
They did look better in that second quarter. You know, they did look like they were starting to find the rhythm a bit. It did, continuously get disrupted over the course of the game, but they at least looked like they were finding it. We even saw Dawson Knox stiff arm play, which was nice. You know, we also saw the weaknesses in the Bills O-line a few times early during that quarter. Yeah. We've seen it in previous weeks, but because Allen is so good getting out of the pocket and throwing on the run. He sort of covers for it. And the game commentators even remarked on his footwork that it was Mahomes-like during that second quarter. But you're right. And, you know, by the way, I have to admit that I did hold my breath on that Tyler Bass 43-yard field goal. he showed the big boot and he nailed it, even though the ball was held laces in, immediately triggering a viral series of Ace Ventura references on Twitter. And as I, you know, I did mention that they did a decent job containing Henry, aside from Josh Norman trying to tackle him.
That was another meme worthy. Yeah, that was another meme worthy.
Man, I love Josh Norman. He still tried to tackle him from the ground. Like, yeah, you know, he still was like reaching for him and trying to.
That's hard, in my opinion. I mean, he did get like a Jedi force pushed out of the ground. There was a lot of memes that came out of that one too, but
possibly the most since Josh Allen's hurdle.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. This one's going to last for a little while. It was bad. Excuse me. That was bad.
Yeah. They got it. That defensive stop that they needed on the Titans drive in that quarter too. Later in the quarter, the offense just wasn't able to get out of their end of the field, but then the Bills got that big 74-yard punt, and the Titans got a holding call on it that gave the defense kind of time to get another stop of their own. So there were opportunities there. There were some breaks there. And, you know, at least in the first half, I had more confidence in the Bills defense to keep pressing, wearing the Titans down, and had that feeling like at any moment on most plays that they could force a turnover. So, you know, at least they looked that way in the first half and kind of had that feeling to them.
They most certainly did. Tennessee did start to pull away here. This is where they really started to pull away. Going 78 yards in 12 plays and killing almost, you know, the entire remainder of the second quarter, aside from a Josh Allen just taking a knee. But the Ryan Tannehill going mobile, a little surprised about that. I'm sure they weren't expecting that. That's one that you can't game plan for, because Tannehill is just not that kind of quarterback. He broke loose and got him up 21-10, but there's still some optimism here. Cause what do we know Josh Allen for? He's a comeback guy. That's sort of his thing. And it's still very early in the second half at this point, going into the second half, there's still a whole lot of football left, still 30 minutes of clock to go. And it's like, there's some optimism here. The Bills can pull this off. It got off to a rough start. They did stop the in the third quarter. Titans did get the ball to start off, 44 yards on 9 plays. They punted away. And then a Josh Allen interception after going 64 yards on 14 plays. What a horrible, it's a gut punch. And to a drive, they were on the Tennessee 39 at that point. And, you know, ready to, they're marching. They're marching. They're controlling the clock, and for it to end in that way, in that manner. Malcolm Butler too. That was his second of the day, unfortunately. And he put the Titans in a prime spot to score again, unfortunately.
Yeah. Coming out of that, I was just looking over some notes that I made about what I was thinking about at halftime, you know, just coming out of that second quarter. And I was a little bit concerned, you know, going into the half about the offensive drops on catchable passes from Allen.
Yeah.
That was kind of a hard to ignore in the first half. The defense finding consistency, you know, I tend to trust our coaching staff. The defense visibly needs kind of a jump start though. They've shown those flashes, but that, you know, press that they're known for, you know, it's just been kind of like the engine's been revving up. Right. And we'll see it in those moments that it revs.
Yes.
But it's like it's continuing to rev up, you know, throughout these games. So, you know, Leslie Frazier, I do remember during the 2018 season game against the Chargers, after a really big loss like this one to the Ravens. McDermott took over defensive play calling in the second half and got the team back in the game. Like I said, I'm trying to factor in the handful of preseason games that would give these guys a chance to kind of warm up. We're now five games in. That kind of would equate to what you would factor in for preseason, right?
Right, absolutely.
That get guys warmed up, kind of get their rhythm going, and the engine's still being revved. Tonight, Tremaine Edmonds made a big play, a big stop. We'll get to that, but, you know, yeah, that I think that's the first time I've seen him do that this season. And like I said,
he's had a very quiet year so far. Absolutely.
Right. Poyer and Hyde, you know, usually we're used to seeing those guys, you know, get some pull down some picks out of the air, get us some turnovers. Those guys have been doing their jobs, but just also, you know, we're used to seeing them kind of do a little bit more. So also Cole Beasley, zero targets in the first half.
Crazy, right?
That man. I literally went back, Matt, and I checked the injury report to see if maybe he was a late scratch. Cause I'm like, wait a minute. I haven't seen Beasley catch a ball once all half, you know?
Baffling.
So, so that those were kind of just in that.
You know, especially with John Brown out too, you'd think he'd be like a natural like guy to kind of go in, you know, he'd make up for some ground, you know, especially feeding him, but, yeah, very, very surprising. Very surprising. I'm not sure what the deal is with that. You know, I see with certain teams all the time, they always, you know, oh, we should have fed this guy, we should have fed that guy. They say that, they change it up for a week, and a couple weeks later, they get experienced the same thing. And I hope I don't have to see that continuously, because Cole Beasley is a fantastic asset to this Bills squad that I think he gets, you know, as much love and praise as he gets, you know. I don't think people view him quite the same way that they do John Brown and Stephon Diggs. Beasley's just as much of an integral part of this offense as those two, and maybe more. And I was surprised that he didn't get more looks going his way. It's almost tragic in a way. And I think it could have been a difference maker if they did look to utilize him a little bit more.
Hey, at least the kicking was great tonight.
That's true. That's true.
good accuracy, big yardage, great hang time. I'll tell you what, you hit the nail on the head with TJ Yeldon. I think he had a good game tonight. The only other person I could possibly think of would have been our punter.
Yeah.
He had those big yard punts, great time, long distance.
I would have got tagged in some nasty, nasty comments if I would have posted that one. Bills Mafia loves me, and I'm using finger quotes here. They would have lost their mind if I put a punter as the player of the week. Josh. Oh, that's rough. Somebody interviewed Derrick Henry. He just popped up in my Twitter notifications and his stiff arm. He goes, "I've been doing too many curls. I have to lay off the arms."
Poor Josh Norman. You look at them standing next to one another on that play. And like, I love that he was like full steam ahead, like trying to tackle Derrick Henry. They're just like sizably different.
Again, a lot of heart.
Yeah.
I give you credit. I give you credit, but Josh Norman, you are not Josh Norman from a couple years ago. I'm so sorry. Yeah, he tried though. He tried to make a play.
He did a decent game tonight. You know, he had a couple bad calls. You know, I think he got like two pass interference calls or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Fortunately, those are never good. Those are always bad. That's always costly. So.
They don't help at all. At all. But as we mentioned, going back to the drive listing, you know, that Malcolm Butler interception put Tannehill and the Titans right back in prime position for a touchdown. 8 yards again, three plays, and Ryan Tannehill hits Jonnu Smith for a 4-yard touchdown pass. 28-10 Buffalo. But then they answer back, so they're like, okay, Buffalo's still alive. They're still kicking a little bit. 105 yards on 14 plays. The Bills go on the next drive with Josh Allen hitting a 22-yard touchdown pass to TJ Yeldon, who is not really the super, he's not the superstar. He's not the running back of the future. I didn't even really consider him as much as honestly, before this, I didn't consider him much of a pass catching type running back. I really never did, but regardless, it was good enough for me to give him that player of the week nod. So I'm happy to see Yeldon doing something good. I know he's been known for having a bit of a fumbling problem, which is, you know, it's always unfortunate, but he brought Buffalo, you know, just, I mean, still down two scores, but ever closer to trying to get a lead on this thing.
Yeah, it was good to see Allen. It was like a sleeping giant had woken for just a moment, you know, just absolutely muscle launch that 22-yard missile to him in the end zone.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you let him throw more? But you know what? To be fair, look, Mike Vrabel's a good coach, man. He threw his own defense at us today, and you know, it seemed to really kind of throw off the long ball game. You know, like I said, we were great in short yardage, played really well in the short yard game, a lot of conversions. And so that unfortunately kind of made a difference, is not getting those defensive stops and not being able to throw down field as much, because the two times that, you know, Allen really threw the ball downfield to the end zone, he had two guys make two big catches, and unfortunately one of them got called back early in the game.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, it's rough. You know, I don't want to take away credit either. Like you said, you got to give a lot of compliment to Mike Vrabel, who is, you know, a very, very good coach. He's a Belichick product, and, you know, he's had some time to kind of sit and study and see what these Bills, you know, this Bills offense's tendencies were. And he threw them right off their game. I think Vrabel's one of the better head coaches in the National Football League. Honestly, his defense isn't really filled with a whole lot of, like, big name players. Malcolm Butler hasn't really been, Malcolm Butler's talented, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't been like relevant, since that, you know, the Seahawks kind of just, Russell Wilson just kind of thrown him the ball. And obviously that, right. I think Jadeveon Clowney, if I'm not mistaken, they picked up this offseason, but Clowney's,
It's easy to forget he's on that team. He's on a 1-year deal, and you literally forget he's on the team most of the time.
Right.
It might be because he's playing like he's on a 1-year deal. I don't know.
Yeah. He's been very, very, he's been very, very quiet. But Vrabel is it goes to show you how excellent of a coach that Vrabel is. Clowney might have been the most expensive acquisition this year. I'm not sure. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but Vrabel is, it just goes to show you the level of, you know, how good of a coach he is, that he could elevate these, and I hate to say no name, but like, again, these guys aren't going to make Pro Bowls. They're not going to be on the cover of Madden. They're not going to get your defensive players of the week, you know, nods. Unfortunately, that's just not who they are, but they play very, very good football, and it has worked very well for Tennessee in this regard.
I'm with you on that, and I really do believe that Vrabel comes out with a game plan. We saw what he was able to do against New England in the first round of the playoffs last year. I do believe, for what it's worth, that as this Titans team is constructed, that that's their ceiling. You know, and until they add like some big receiver, you know, dominant receiver or something like that, I don't know that they'll be able to make it further than that. But I don't even know if they'll make the playoffs this year. But tonight we had our shots, but he did show up with a really great game. I'd be remiss not to point out that for some reason the Titans special teams unit was very chippy tonight, and a little aggressive. And I don't know whether it was just Malcolm Butler trying to give the business to Gabriel Davis, you know, because he's a rookie. Or if there was another reason behind it. But I noticed him give him a little dirty knee on the way up from a tackle on a catch, you know, just as he was getting up, driving his knee into his helmet. And, you know, refs didn't catch it or call it. And I don't think the coaching staff caught it either, because otherwise they probably would have had something to say about it.
So
so that was kind of a little bit of an eyebrow raiser tonight.
Yeah. A little dirty. That's the first time I've really noticed anything super dirty out of him, as far as being a Tennessee Titan. So I don't know if it was intentional or not. Certainly up to debate, but something maybe to keep an eye on down the road. But here we go. We entered the fourth quarter, and it was honestly, it was all Titans from here. So I'm not going to bog you guys down too much with it. Titans seven, Derrick Henry had a 9-yard touchdown run to put them up 35-16. And then towards the very end of the game, Ryan Tannehill going a little mobile. He hits Jonnu Smith for a 7-yard touchdown pass. As bad as it was for the Bills, it did help me win my fantasy game this week. So thank you, Jonnu Smith. And thank you, Ryan Tannehill, for not crossing the line of scrimmage. I appreciate you. I actually started the Bills defense as well. So usually like everything good that they were doing, it would take a little bit away from Buffalo. So, but yeah, sorry, Bills fans, but that was it. That was it. That was pretty much the end of this game, and very one-sided, but regardless, you know, I say this all the time. I host another podcast. It's more neutral. It's a little bit more everybody. It's called the 2-Point Conversation, and cheap plug. And, you know, I talk about this all the time. When quarterbacks have bad games, it's really, you know, quarterbacks, teams have really bad games. It's important to see how they respond. A couple weeks ago, we've seen Lamar Jackson have probably one of the worst games of his career against this Kansas City Chiefs team, who, much like the Titans defense, is really a bunch of no-name guys who are just coached very well. And, you know, it's like, okay, yes, that happened. Everybody's due a bad game. You know, the offenses, things don't click right. It's just one game, though. How do these guys respond? Lamar Jackson responded pretty well. It's well documented. I've said it many times. I'm a Colts fan. Phillip Rivers looked like garbage this week against the Cleveland Browns, but I'm not going to overreact until I see how he responds the week after. As far as Josh Allen and this offense, you know, how are they going to respond against a much more competent, higher rated team in the Kansas City Chiefs? How is Josh Allen and this offense going to respond to these, how are they going to, you know, rebound from this game? And I mean, if they pull it off, they beat Kansas City, all will probably be forgotten. Honestly, this Tennessee game will be old news.
Yeah. You know, health matters. We've been really great about pulling guys in off waivers, you know, signing undrafted guys and kind of finding treasures in there, you know, kind of like hidden value. And not everybody works out. You know, sometimes we get a couple guys that do. They go on to be starters for us and make a difference. But I think something that we've learned over recent games where we've been depleted at positions to injuries is, I think it kind of points to organically, and I mean, there was already projections about where we might draft, what positions we might draft at next year, not to get too far ahead. But, you know, I definitely wouldn't be surprised if we see them pick the way that they did to replenish some of our offense this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see them look to draft early at the linebacker position, as well as at the corner, you know, and even potentially start to look for who are going to be those next guys to come in off the bench, you know, behind Trey White, and you know, who are going to be the guys to come in off the bench behind Hyde and Poyer. Those could be things that sooner and later we start to see addressed, since with guys that are out for a game, we can see what a big difference it makes not having a Matt Milano or an impact guy like that. And also the penalties and turnovers sunk us today. You know, unfortunately that tip ball, you know, I'll take a mulligan on that one, but the penalties and the turnovers though, penalties especially, I mean there was multiple times where that proved, a whole handful of times during this game, that penalties proved costly. It gave the other team first downs, it gave them scoring opportunities, gave them more points, whereas we would have held them to a field goal at most in some cases. And I can't remember the last time I saw so many false starts between two teams. It's been a while. So I think going into that game, you know, the very first thing that comes to mind is discipline. Sean McDermott, that's, you know, a core value of his and how he coaches. You know, that was uncharacteristically undisciplined for the Bills. Health is going to be important, getting our guys back healthy to have a shot at the Chiefs. But I do think the fact that the Raiders provided a roadmap this week by limiting Patrick Mahomes, where, you know, you get the score up and you just make sure to manage the game in a way that you come out on top and don't give him enough time to come back. That's all it was. Well, you know, you go back and watch that game. Mahomes just ran out of time. That's all it was. If they'd had it probably two more minutes, he very well may have come back and won that game.
Absolutely.
So those are all going to be keys, I think, to that matchup next week.
No, it's certainly going to be a nice test. And like you said, the Raiders did provide a blueprint. That's going to how the Raiders dealt with Patrick Mahomes. That's how you deal with great quarterbacks. You take time off the clock. You keep them off the field as best as you can. You know, that's how a guy like Patrick Mahomes gets beat. It's also on the flip side, how a guy like Josh Allen gets beat, who I believe is a very, very talented quarterback, obviously, very, very much behind him. And I can't say it enough, man. Bills Mafia, do not lose your minds. One game, any given Sunday. Yep. And you know, while it's not Sunday, it's a Tuesday night, but any given Tuesday evening, which, I mean, that doesn't happen all too often, but keep the faith. Everything's going to be all right. You know, you have an opportunity to rebound in the biggest way possible by defeating the defending Super Bowl champions, you know?
Yeah. And, As long as we're on our game, we have a shot.
Yep.
Against any team in the league.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, before today, when I see this team at full health, and granted, I'm aware that there are issues on defense. I can't say it enough. But I look at the remainder of the schedule, and well, yes, it's going to be very, very competitive. This team has a real good shot at doing something. It's actually kind of cool to see that not every team in the AFC is this immortal. You know, a mortal figure. I mean, Baltimore, I know we're not going to see them this year. If we do, it's going to be in the postseason. But Baltimore has looked very mortal, human, I guess, in a way to speak. Kansas City, you know, this hasn't been the most exciting Patrick Mahomes season. He's put up some really great and fun numbers, but he's not the world beater that he came off as his first 2 years starting his first year as a starter and second year as a starter. Everybody's beatable. Everybody's beatable, and it's you know, the health thing goes such a long way, the preparations and so much more. But I mean, I still have unlimited optimism for this team. I really do.
Yeah.
Looking after this week, the AFC period is honestly wide open. And in my opinion, it could be the Bills to lose, you know. Sure. It really can be.
You have some great teams. Offensive teams, the Chiefs obviously are sitting atop that AFC mountain at the moment. Pittsburgh has a big Ben back, you know, and the Colts have Rivers, you know, the Browns are showing up. So you have these teams that are, you know, there's a good amount of distance between the elite teams in the AFC and kind of the middle of the pack teams.
Yeah.
And the Bills are up there. So, you know, it really is kind of theirs to lose. And look, even if we go in to next week and don't come out on top, that's still reason not to worry, as long as we make a game out of it. You know, today was just an off day. We didn't look anything like we looked the first four games, except for in small doses and in flashes and in short yardage and on defense on a few stops. So, you know, it's nothing to, like you said, it's not any reason to panic. You know, we've got a whole season left ahead of us. This game is just one game, and you know, hopefully we'll rebound against Kansas City.
I hope so. And you know what, you know, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, you beat them when it counts. Yeah, today it was a knock against the record, but you know, make it to postseason and knock them out then. That's the most important way to go about it. We've seen many a times teams that lose to like division rivals or somebody else, you know, within the season, and then they go catch them in the playoffs and they beat them there. That's the most important. That's when you want to win those games. That's certainly when you want to win those games. So use that, you know, think with that. Don't overreact. Do not overreact. There's still a lot more football left to go. Week 6 coming in hot. And Monday at 5 p.m., right? 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Yep.
That's when it starts. So make sure you stay tuned. Myself and David will be ready. The following week, we'll be recording that evening, and we'll have something ready for you the, you know, Tuesday morning. So, but yeah, that is a wrap on this episode. David, thank you again, once again, for joining us. I'm really glad. I'm very happy to have you as a co-host. You are wonderful. You are an absolutely wonderful co-host, and I like our energy. I like how we bounce off each other. You're very knowledgeable, and I'm grateful to have you. I really am.
Thanks, Matt. I'm really happy to be on here with you, and I really love that we both kind of have our hearts in the right places and situations just like this one. So yeah. Go Bills.
Go Bills. That's yes, absolutely. That is a wrap on this episode. And like David said, go Bills. Talk to you next week.